Okay, we've been looking at how to study the Bible. Last week we began with clauses and phrases. There are several different types of clauses. Basically, we'll divide them into two, independent and dependent clauses. Independent clauses can stand alone as a sentence. That is, they make complete sense by themselves. A sentence can consist of several independent clauses, but an independent clause can be a sentence by itself. A dependent clause, of course, is dependent upon an independent clause to be explained or to make sense. A phrase is two or more words found within a clause. And these clauses, these phrases, they can reveal contrast, they can state a reason for something, they can identify place or purpose, result or effect, cause, can reveal time, they can reveal condition. So of course they're very important if we're going to recognize details, and that's what we want to do. They also answer the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. And as we've stated, and we began last week to, we looked at one example last week, we'll look at some today. We need to, when we're reading the scriptures, we divide the scriptures into sentences. We need to divide sentences into clauses. And within those clauses, we need to observe phrases. Again, there's several types of phrases. We're not going to concern ourselves with them, but just want to stress the importance of noticing a phrase, stress the importance of reading the scriptures by clauses, by phrases. It takes longer, but I guarantee you, if you would read the scriptures, if you would learn to read the scriptures, dividing it by clauses and phrases, and then, of course, putting them all together, you get so much more. You see so much more in the scriptures. And again, that's what reading the scriptures is all about, is to see, to understand, to see the details. The scriptures is a very detailed book, and we need to observe those details. So we'll give several simple examples of dividing a verse of scripture. And again, a verse isn't necessarily, in fact, usually it isn't. A verse does not constitute a sentence. It may take several verses to constitute a sentence, and a verse may consist of several sentences. So we must keep that straight as well. But notice if we go to Psalm 3, and as we've already stated in all the past studies or lessons, every sentence, of course, must have a subject. That's the subject is a noun. But we're going to concern ourselves, every sentence also has a main idea. That is something that is being stressed. And in Psalm 3, verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I will not be afraid. That's the idea of this sentence. And this is a sentence. Here, Psalm 3, verse 6 is a sentence. It has two clauses. There is an independent clause, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. That can stand alone by itself as a sentence. So that's an independent clause. Then we have the next clause, that have set themselves against me round about. Now, if you just read that by itself, it's not a full explanation. Something has to explain that. So that's a dependent clause. It depends on the first clause. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Next clause, a dependent clause, that have set themselves against me round about. So we have two clauses, an independent clause, a dependent clause in Psalm 3, verse 6. There's a prepositional phrase in the independent clause. There's two of them. Of 10,000s, and then of people. Of 10,000s of people. Then in the dependent clause, there's another prepositional phrase. That have set themselves, and then notice, against me round about. So in this verse, you can read, you can divide it in half. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Second half is a dependent clause, that have set themselves against me round about. Within those clauses, we see their phrases. Then notice in Psalm 4 and verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. That's an independent clause that can stand by itself as a sentence. So we need to read that, we need to stop, and we need to think about that. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Now, if you just read that by itself, more than in the time that their wine, their corn and their wine increase, that does not make sense by itself. It's not a complete sentence. It's a dependent clause. To make sense, it depends upon the first clause, which is, thou hast put gladness in my heart. So we can divide that verse in two parts. Independent clause, thou hast put gladness in my heart. In my heart is a phrase. Prepositional phrase. Thou hast put gladness. Where? In my heart. So we need to draw a line there or do something to, again, you don't have to do it literally, but in our minds, and we pick out a phrase, in my heart. That's a very important phrase. More than, now he's going to describe the degree of gladness. The very two words, more than, immediately, tells us that degree is going to be explained. A comparison is going to be made. More than in the time. That's a phrase. In the time. Again, it's a prepositional phrase. That their corn and their wine increased. Psalm 7, verse 10. My defense is of God. That's an independent clause that makes sense by itself. My defense is of God. That can be a sentence. But again, the main idea here is my defense. That's the main idea being stressed, my defense. My defense is of God. Independent clause. Draw a line in our minds. Which, and any time you see that word which, it's a dependent clause. Depends on preceding the last statement. Which saveth, which would refer back to God, which saveth the upright in heart. Now, if you read that by itself, which saveth the upright in heart, that's not a sentence. Does not make sense by itself. It needs further explanation. Therefore, it is a dependent clause. It depends on something else. So once again, we have a sentence, verse 10. We divide it in two clauses. An independent clause, my defense is of God, and a dependent clause. And then you can study them separately. Now, in that independent clause, there's a phrase, of God, of God. My defense is of God. Now, you can think about just those two words for quite a while. Of God, of God. You see, when you read the Bible this way, these are good places to get stuck. It's very easy when you divide a verse of Scripture and divide it into clauses and phrases to get stuck on a word, to get stuck on two words, to get stuck on a clause. And those are good places to get stuck. My defense is of God. Then we have our dependent clause, which saveth the upright in heart. That's a phrase. Again, it's a prepositional phrase telling us where. Telling us a position. In heart. Then notice in Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's an independent clause. Makes sense by itself. The main idea here is praise, or the giving of praise. I will praise thee. And then we have a phrase, my whole heart. That's a phrase. Need to consider that by itself. Then we have another independent clause. So this sentence can also be divided by clauses. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will. That's another clause, and it's an independent clause because it can also stand by itself as a sentence. I will show forth, and then you have a phrase, all thy marvelous works. Again, reading the Scriptures this way takes time. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord. That's an independent clause. That's a sentence by itself. Which, that refers back to the Lord, but it's another clause. Which dwelleth in Zion. Which dwelleth in Zion is a dependent clause. You just read that by itself. Which dwelleth in Zion, that does not make sense. It is not fully explained. It cannot be a sentence. It is a dependent clause. It depends upon, sing praises to the Lord, which, referring to the Lord, dwelleth in Zion. In Zion, is a phrase within this clause. The Lord dwells. Where does he dwell? Well, here it is in Zion. Then we have another clause. Declare among the people his doings. And within that clause, you have among the people, which, of course, is a phrase. Notice in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord. Okay, that's our main idea here. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's a clause. Next clause, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The phrases here is converting the soul, making wise the simple. These are ing words. We see the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And you can read on there, but you see how this passage, you can divide it into several clauses. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth, that's the main idea here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is an independent clause. He that dwelleth, and then you have a phrase, in the secret place. That's quite a phrase. That's a phrase that, again, you can just read that, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and you may skip over that. But if you divine it, if you look for the phrase, he that dwelleth in the secret place. That's something to think about. In the secret place. And then you have another phrase, of the Most High. So it's not just a secret place. It's the secret place of the Most High. Shall abide. Then you have another phrase, under the shadow. Under the shadow. There's a phrase that draws a picture. Under the shadow. And then you have another phrase, of the Almighty. So again, you see, you're just dividing a verse or a sentence or a portion of a verse. You're breaking it down into clauses and phrases. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. That is an independent clause. It can stand by itself, has a sentence. The main idea is, blessed are the undefiled. There's a phrase in that independent clause, in the way. In the way. Who walk, and then there's a phrase, in the law. And then there's another phrase, of the Lord. And Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's an independent clause. That's a sentence by itself that can stand as a sentence. Thy word is the main idea. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's a phrase. Very important phrase. In mine heart. That, this is another clause, that I might not sin against thee. That's a dependent clause. That cannot stand by itself as a sentence. It's not complete. It depends on the first clause. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That which states a purpose or result, that I might not sin against thee. And there's that I might not sin. And then there's a very important phrase, against thee. All sin, of course, is against God. Notice in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 11 through verse 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's a sentence. But then notice verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That is an independent clause. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The main idea here is the many that have received him. And then there's a very important phrase within that clause, to them. To them is those who have received him. To them gave he power. And there's another phrase, to become. That is, this is what the power has resulted in. To become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. That's a dependent clause. Even to them that believe on his name. That cannot stand by itself as a sentence. There's an important phrase there. That believe on his name. Which then you have another dependent clause. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is a dependent clause. There are several phrases within that clause that are very important. The main idea of the clause, which we're born. That's the main idea of this dependent clause, which we're born. And then there's a phrase, it goes not, and then there's a phrase of blood. Of blood. Very important. Goes on, of the will, nor of the will. That's another phrase. He's not born of the blood. That is, it's not hereditary. He's not born of the will, whether it be his own will or someone else's will. Then there's another phrase describing the will. Nor of the will of the flesh. Of the flesh. That's a very important phrase. Nor of the will, there's another phrase. Nor of the will. And then there's another one. Of man. But then there's another phrase. Several phrases in this clause. But, and there's the phrase, of God. So again, you just divide a passage into sentences, clauses. Within those clauses are phrases. And by doing so, you're able to see so much more. And there's many, many, many other examples. Let's look at one more. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. That's an independent clause. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. There's a phrase there. Phoebe is the subject. There's a phrase, our sister. It describes Phoebe. Then there's another clause, which. Which, stating another clause, which is a servant of the church. That's a dependent clause, cannot stand by itself, which is a servant of the church. Depends upon that first clause. It's telling us about Phoebe. So here there's a phrase within that dependent clause. There's two phrases. A servant, and then another phrase, of the church. A servant, another phrase, of the church. Then there's another dependent clause, which again states a clause, which is at Synchrea. So he has described Phoebe, she's our sister, she's a servant, she is a servant of the church. So you see, right there, you have 3 points. This Phoebe is our sister, she's a servant, and she is a servant of the church. Which church? The church which is at Synchrea. There's a lot of detail in that verse. It may seem as unimportant detail, but there's a lot of detail at that verse. And yet people read such verses and they pay no attention at all to the detail. And, I mean, there's detail about Phoebe. There's detail about the church. So, if you can just get in the habit of breaking it down by sentences, instead of just reading a whole passage, divide it, break it down. The idea, of course, you don't break it down that where they're independent of each other. You break it down so you can put it together. That's the whole idea. Again, it's like working that puzzle. You break it down, and then you put it together. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you that you teach us. That the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That the Holy Spirit is our guide. Lord, we pray that you would be with us today, that you would help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would honor and glorify your name. Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd draw us closer to thee. Those that are here without thee, Lord, we pray that you'd save their souls this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.